You love horses. I don't trust them. It's their eyes. Their sneaky feet. Long noses. Their shoes are permanent. Who makes that kind of commitment to a shoe?
Glue.
How does glue make
commitment to any shoe? Glue's made from horses, so they commit. You know what I mean?
No, I don't at all.
That's a thing. You never... Glue is made from horses. It was.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, an inanimate object cannot commit.
Well, it doesn't have a choice, but doesn't negate the fact that it's still committed.
I don't know about that. I think committing has some aspect of choice involved.
Mm. Interesting.
I don't think so. I think it's probably pretty standard.
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right, let's get into the beer. What are we drinking?
Well, if nobody knows, my name is Nick.
I'm Levi.
And you're listening to Two Beards and Some Beers.
This is episode 7 or 8, you know? We don't know.
Or 8. We don't know.
Or 6, actually, because we might have lost a recording.
We don't know. There's there's been some minor malfunctions in what the fuck we do, because we don't know what the fuck we're doing. So
this is an episode.
Yeah, so you tell us, comment below, what episode this is, because we don't know yet.
All we know is the name, Two Beards and Some Beers.
That's what it is. Today we're drinking Lagunitas' Born Again yesterday.
I don't know what that means, by the way.
So Lagunitas, every year around harvest time, rather I should just say at harvest time, they have a beer that they put out called Born Yesterday.
Okay.
Oh god, this beer's so fucking good. And so it's called Born Yesterday, and it is a wet hop, like a fresh wet hop, like unfiltered beer. So yeah. That means, so you know, and
before you get into what that means, okay, keep on your story, because we'll get to that.
Please.
One topic at a time.
But what story?
What?
Oh, you're saying that why it's called Born Again?
Yeah, Born Again thing.
So that's a fresh hop pale ale, and Born Again Yesterday is just made to emulate their other beer that they get around harvest time, or that they make around harvest time.
Got it.
So it's like, hey, it's Born Again, because it's not actually a fresh hop pale ale. It's just like... made to emulate their fresh hop pale ale.
Yeah. So what is interesting is they call it a unfiltered ale, but I think technically it's an unfiltered pale ale.
Yeah.
I was nervous at first because I was like, I don't really love just like standard ales.
No, there's shit.
Yeah.
At least I think so.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But, you know, 7.2%. alcohol volume. Mm-hmm. I don't know the IBUs. Something
55 is written right in front of you. 55. If you have the Google Doc open.
I do not have the Google Doc open. Okay. I'm not a professional podcaster. I just lost a recording file, remember?
That's okay.
So anyways, what does wet hop mean, or fresh hop, or dry hop?
So if a beer is claiming to have wet or like fresh hops in it, typically hops are dried in a kiln because it helps preserve them. So if you don't dry them out, they do not have a very long time before they go bad and can't even be used. So there has to be a very small window from the fact that these hops are picked off the vine and transported and put into beer if you're not going to dry them. And so theoretically, I guess not even theoretically, I guess factually rather, just if you have a fresh, like wet hop beer that is the freshest that you're going to have a beer as far as like the hops getting from the farm to the beer.
Cool.
But that's my story.
Yeah, awesome.
So it's just cool. So every year on harvest time, Lagunitas puts that out. They're Born Yesterday Pale Ale. It's just a fresh hop pale ale, and it's probably my favorite beer I've ever had. And this comes pretty close because they try to emulate that taste.
Do you prefer? I imagine you prefer, fresh hopped beers.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's like a huge thing that Stone is like trying to like get out there. It's like the fresher the hops, like the fresher the beer, especially when it comes to IPAs, like the better it's going to taste. Like some beers, you know, you can just age them and whatever, they're good or they're better. But like when it comes to IPAs and when it comes to like the flavor and the taste of the hops, like the best it's going to be is like right after it's done brewing. Like when it comes to hops, like the fresher, the better, I guess. So,
yeah, it's interesting because I think there are very like sometimes I want a very dry, or even malty kind of IPA. And
yeah,
those are typically with dry hop beers. So I don't know, it's everyone's preference. I think
totally.
I definitely can tell the difference on a fresh hop beer, though.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's nuts.
It's a like huge difference.
You'll have to try. Well, especially up in your area, that's where like all of the hops in America practically are grown. You'll have to try some of those like fresh hop IPAs and whatnot that get put out around harvest time, come like September, October. Because it's some really good shit. I guess Georgetown puts out a really good one.
So, yeah, I assume I've had plenty. I just,
probably
don't really pay attention, but
fair enough.
And I think Deschutes Fresh Squeezed.
I don't know.
I believe is fresh hopped.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. Well, I should say this. I did not like it as much as I wanted to. It was fine. It was good. But with a name like Fresh Squeezed, like, that shit has a big expectation in my mind. I don't know.
Hey, man. Save your opinion for when we review the beer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Anyways, first thoughts. I think you already said it's a fucking good beer. So any other thoughts?
I don't know. It's a good beer, man. It's nice and juicy. I mean, if anyone has ever come in contact with a hop, that's what this beer tastes like.
Yeah, I think I'm actually surprised at how good it is. I think part of it is that it's unfiltered. It just kind of gives it a little bit more of a bite.
Totally.
Not to get into it too much. But yeah, it has a nice edge to it that doesn't exist a lot of times with pale ales.
Yeah.
Usually they're pretty mellow. So
right.
It's kind of nice. I like it.
Yeah, good. Glad to like it. I figured you would. I figured this was kind of up your alley, but so I'm glad you like it. So I have a question.
I have a question for you.
I have a question. Excuse me, I have a question for you. Is your crocodile?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's kind of funny. It's along those lines. If you could have any pet in the world, like any wild animal, what would it be?
Ooh, that's difficult. So, clarifying question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like tamed? Or do I have to take the risk?
No, it could be what you want. If you want to take the risk, take it. If you wanted to like.
No, I'm saying like tamed. If I choose
no, I know.
A yeah, lion, like, does that mean the lion never kills me, or am I choosing a lion and I
no,
risk
up,
it kills
no,
me?
No, it's up to you. It's irrelevant. You can make it whatever you want. Yeah. Like if you want it to be tamed, then say that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I assume you already have thought of an answer, so I'll let you go first while I think of it.
No, not really.
You haven't thought of an answer, or you're just...
I think bears are really cool.
Yeah, bears are awesome.
Yeah, but like I really love wolves.
Yeah, I was honestly leaning towards a wolf.
Yeah. They're just so rad. They're like cute dogs, yeah, but like really fucking badass.
Yeah. I was also thinking like a moose. A moose would be pretty awesome.
Okay.
I don't think people think
of moose
very often.
No.
I don't know. They're just huge and they have those crazy antlers. They're
like, what'd you do with
really it? Beautiful. Ride it. I don't know. I assume you can ride a moose.
Probably.
Also, an elephant. Elephant would be pretty hard to beat.
I found out yesterday that elephants kill more people yearly than sharks do.
Dude, vending machines kill more people than sharks do.
That's crazy.
Yeah, vending machines on average kill 6 people, and sharks kill 5 people a year. That's a ridiculous statistic.
What are these people doing with these vending machines?
I think they get mad and they shake them, like trying to get like their fucking Pringles out or something.
Yeah, and it falls on top of them?
I guess. I mean, it's probably a combination of that and then like people unloading vending machines out of trucks and them falling over on them or something.
Yeah, see, that
sounds
that
more
makes,
likely. But
yeah, that sounds more like that makes more sense.
But I don't know. I'm not a vending machine serial killer expert.
People get mad, dude. You put like a dollar in there and people act like they put 100 in. They get so mad if their candy doesn't come out.
Yeah, I would get more mad at vending machines that don't allow me to pay with my credit card than something getting stuck.
That's pretty frequent.
I just think it's 2018. Like, has no one...
Can you not figure out how the technology works?
Well,
or...
it's like the tech, like half the time, I think it's like 50% of the time, at least in my area, the technology is there, but then probably 60% of the time that the technology is there, it doesn't work. And I'm just like, this is frustrating. It's 2018. I don't have cash ever.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I realized that the last few road trips that I've been on, I'll go like in one of those like truck stops, you know?
Yep.
Rest
areas.
Yeah, rest areas rather. And in like the bathroom thing, they have like those vending machines and they do take credit cards there now that I think about it.
Did they work every time you used it, or do you just like see it?
I just saw it. I honestly had cash on me. I didn't even bother to use my card.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, just to let you
or
know,
I just
instead
didn't.
Of say it again, it's 2018.
I know.
No one uses cash.
Okay, so that's how I feel about Wi-Fi. I think there should be free worldwide Wi-Fi no matter where you are. I should be on the top of Mount Everest and able to have Wi-Fi. It's 2018. Good one, Sid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the whole like service provider Wi-Fi stuff works, but I do know there's like cities in America that have open Wi-Fi, which is pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. That's how it should be everywhere.
Yeah, 100% agree.
There should never be a place that I'm at that I don't have cell reception or Wi-Fi.
The worst is when you go to a coffee shop that doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even call them a coffee shop at that point.
Are you trying to go out of business?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be good Wi-Fi either. Like, it can't be shit. Like, nothing
right,
loads,
like,
but it doesn't
like
have
our,
to be quick.
Like our college?
Dude. Their fucking Wi-Fi was ass.
It's because they felt so compelled to have to use a Christian company for their Wi-Fi provider.
Oh, yeah.
It was some bullshit. Like, just get fucking Comcast and we'll call it a day, okay? Everyone will be happy and they'll actually work and be able to upload their shit to their classes. It'll be great.
Yeah, it's nuts.
God. It was, oh my gosh, it was a nightmare. I could not stream a YouTube video or even a song off of Apple Music on that Wi-Fi. It would not allow me to.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you think we have come so far in technology, yet like when we're inconvenienced, we feel so far behind at the same time.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is. I mean, you get used to such a certain standard. So then if that's compromised, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, today, because I work for a tech company and our Wi-Fi is rough sometimes.
Ironically.
Yeah, it's very ironic. And so occasionally I turn off my Wi-Fi and go to LTE because it's faster.
Yeah.
And today, T-Mobile sent me a notification and I am out of data
until the 24th.
So it's only 5 days, but I was like,
God damn.
But also they didn't even warn me. They didn't even say like, oh, you have a gig left or whatever. It was just like, oh, you're out of data. Fuck you.
They they always do that. They always, you say you have AT&T or T-Mobile?
T-Mobile.
Yeah, so AT&T always tells me, hey, you know, you've used 60% of your data. And then they're like, hey, you've used 90% of your data. And they're like, fuck you. We already charged you. You used it all. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for the extra gig, I guess.
Yeah.
That you charged me for without asking.
Yeah, it's real stupid.
Yeah, but now we're on this like thing where we have quote unquote unlimited.
Yeah, that's what T-Mobile has. And it
it's basically fake. Like you basically have like 20 some gigs, which is a fuck ton. Like you really do have to be trying to go over that shit. It's not technically unlimited, but it is a lot of data.
Well, is it 20 for you or is it 20 split across like your family?
No, it's each.
Wow, so I have 4 gigs for me. And, you know, if I'm not on Wi-Fi, I blaze through that 4 gigs.
Dude, oh yeah, I could easily get this shit. So we were on a plan before that where we were sharing, for the four of us, we were sharing 6 gigs.
Ugh.
Yeah, sharing 6 gigs between 4 people. And, I swear to God, AT&T is a kind of a company where you have to just go to them every like 3 to 6 months and be like, hey, can I make my bill any cheaper? Literally. And then they'll be like, oh yeah. It's like, you assholes, why don't you just fucking do it? Like, why do I have to be the one to come to you to be like, hey, can you make my bill cheaper for like nothing different? And then they'll be like, yep, we sure can. What the fuck? So we 6 gigs, 4 people. Now all 4 of us have, you know, quote unquote unlimited, and it's cheaper than the 6 gigs for the 4 of us.
Yeah, that's real stupid. Them not saying anything, admittedly, what the fuck. But also, like, you would think with where we are at today with cellular technology that data shouldn't be that expensive, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, fucking crazy compared to, like, Comcast.
Like, what
and I have unlimited data with Comcast. I can fucking watch whatever I want.
Right. Yeah. I don't understand what it is about cell phone providers that they get off charging anything for data. Like, I'm already being charged to have the fucking line. So, like, why do you also need to charge me for data?
Yeah. I feel like it should just be one price.
Especially, you know, for AT&T.
Here's your cell phone. It's like gotten down to us worrying about minutes again, right? Like,
right, yeah.
I have 100 minutes. Now it's like I have 2 gigs.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, like AT&T is one of the biggest like mecha companies in the world right now. Like, there's literally only like 3 companies that exist in the world at this point, and AT&T is one of them. No, seriously though, especially when it comes to technology.
I mean, that's not how it works, but okay.
No, I'm telling you, they're like the parent company of so much. I was looking it up. They own so, like, they're up there with Disney and Comcast and all that.
Yeah, they definitely own a ton, but
it's nuts. So given the status of where they are, like they do have like an actual internet, like they are an actual internet provider. So as a phone company, then why the fuck am I paying you for basically minutes of data? Like what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's pretty fucked up, and I feel like all of this is going to change in the matter of like five to 10 years, but I'd say five, of how data is, I don't know, like how we use data, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I mean, so much has changed in the last 20 years that...
Yeah, the system that we have now doesn't seem sustainable, and it doesn't seem like people are going to be okay with it. And it seems like things are going to be invented or... even just rather brought into the light, like different ways of doing it that are gonna like they would push those big companies out of business if they don't change what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see. Wait and see. We got off on a large tangent from what animals do we want to own.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, getting back to that topic, I believe the hippopotamus is the most dangerous animal to humans.
It is. Yeah, that surprised me. More than elephants, more than wolves, more than sharks and bears. Like, it's crazy how many people die from hippopotamuses. Like, where are they?
Yeah, I have no idea how that's a thing, but also, like, have you ever seen like a hippopotamus eat a watermelon? I mean, they just the force in their bite is just crazy.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they're beasts. Yeah, Google if you can Google.
They live in Africa.
Well, yeah, I knew that. And the zoo.
I didn't know. Well, yeah, the zoo.
I'm watching a video right now of a hippo eating a watermelon, and it's like me eating popcorn. that's what it's like. It's fucking nuts, and it looks super happy about it. Yeah, that's gnarly.
Are they only in Africa?
And the zoo.
Well, like, in the wild.
I think so.
God damn you. Oh, yeah, and actually even only southern Africa for the most part, too. Other than, this is so wild, so it's like they're like the southern, I'll say two-thirds of Africa, but then they go all the way up the Nile.
That's yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but...
Yeah, but still, I mean, they go all the way up into, what is that, the Mediterranean? Is that what that flows into?
I don't know. I'm not a geography expert.
I don't know. I used to be.
I'm American.
Damn, I'm learning so much about hippopotamuses right now. Until 1909, naturalists grouped hippos with pigs. Based on molar patterns. Hmm. What? What?
Like their teeth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had no idea what they meant by that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Did you look up hippos eating watermelons yet?
I did not. Hold on.
You're doing all this fact checking on hippos.
I literally typed in hippos eat, and then like the second search is eating watermelon.
Yeah, see? It's a thing.
There's like this Asian boy, ironically, feeding a hippo. Oh. Schmunk. No problem.
Tell me it's not dissimilar from like you eating popcorn.
He just bloop and yeah. It's juice. Yeah. It was a watermelon and then bloop, it was juice after that. Oh man, why is it so juicy?
He has a good life, though. I mean,
yeah, he just gets fed watermelon all fucking day. Watermelon's delicious. If you're gonna be that hot ass Africa country, you might as well have some watermelon.
So would you rather eat pineapple for the rest of your life or watermelon for the rest of your life? Since the audience doesn't know, you love pineapple.
I do. I do love pineapple. I have a tattoo of a pineapple.
What's it mean?
But it's like, I feel like it just kind of represents the fruit of the spirit in my life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just really fucking love pineapple. But it's in the shape of a skull with sunglasses on, so it's cool.
Yeah, super cool.
Thanks.
If you're into that kind of thing.
It's like a
ironic biker
tattoo. Yeah. But so, as much as I love pineapple, I honestly, if I had to only pick one, I think I'd pick watermelon, because I think if that's... Well, hold on. So you're saying it's all I could eat for the rest of my life?
No.
Or are you saying, like, if I had to pick one of the two fruits, like, if I couldn't have the other?
Exactly, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah, then I'd pick pineapple.
Okay.
But if it's, like, the only thing you could eat for the rest of your life, then I would pick watermelon.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it's not as, like...
Yeah, it's so tart. Pineapple's so tart. Like, I feel like my tongue would just turn to fucking dust.
That, and you'd get... sick of it real quick. Like, I mean, you'd get sick of watermelon too, but not as fast, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Yeah. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would choose to only eat pineapple. I mean, I love pineapple too, but it's very sugary. I mean, watermelon is too, but I feel like there's much higher hydrating factor to watermelon.
Yeah, it's like really juicy and really watery. Go figure. I'm looking at this picture of a turtle eating some watermelon, and it's pretty cute.
Oh yeah, I bet. Just to be consistent, I changed up my diet this week.
Mm.
I listened to a Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, did you?
With Dr. Sean Baker, I believe. And he is a physician, I think, that is carnivore. So he only eats meat.
Only
eats meat.
That cannot be good for you.
So I looked it up. And if you want to Reddit to kind of peruse and learn a little bit more about it, look at r/zero carb. And it is people who legitimately live on no carbs. And so I've been doing that for the past 3 days. So this beer is actually the first carb I've had in 3 days.
Shit.
And it's interesting.
So I watched a documentary on Netflix. So I don't know if you've heard of this, like, ketogenic diet, whatever the fuck. Yeah. So it's along the same lines. However, what you're talking about is a little bit more extreme. The way that it was originally explained to me, it kind of just seemed like bullshit. Because in my mind, I was like, well, you need carbs. Like, that's what gives you energy. You know, like, it's converted to sugar, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
But keto is all about getting your energy from fat.
Yeah. Right. Which, again, the way that it was originally explained to me, it just didn't make sense. But after I watched this documentary, I was like, oh, shit. Like, that makes so much sense. Like, the way that they scientifically broke it down, like, how you get your energy from fat. And I'm like, okay, yep. Like, I've learned about that. That makes sense. That checks out. Okay. You're giving enough, you know, evidence to back it up. I'm like, that makes sense. And then, you know, they're like, you know, humans lived off this similar diet for millions of years, and now all of a sudden in the past couple thousands, like, you know, like, yeah, our lifespan's gone up, but that's mostly because of where we're at medically.
Yeah, modern technology.
But as far as our diet goes, like, we're getting fucked and we have all these new diseases and fucking cancer, and like, all this shit didn't exist before then. So it's like, you've got to equate this to our diet.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't go that far to say, like, you know, ketogenic diet is the miracle diet.
I'm not telling you, hey, this is the cure to cancer, everybody go this way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the way that we have been eating for the past however long is definitely what has caused all of these things to spark up.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Like, I think there are a lot of things, there are a lot of variables that get added onto that, like living in dense populations and you know, how we cook foods now and you know, our exposure to a lot of different kinds of foods, all that stuff. Whereas,
well, just a lot of different kinds of things in general. I mean, even the sun too. I mean, I you can't tell me that skin cancer didn't exist until recently. Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of variables. I definitely think that, you know, diet is a large one for sure that has probably introduced us to some bad shit.
Yeah, all this processed chemicals and refined sodium and refined sugars that we just eat on a daily basis that is literally fake and things that our body doesn't necessarily even need. I mean, we need sodium, but sugar, we don't even need.
Yeah. Yeah, you should really check out that Reddit or the podcast with Joe Rogan. It's kind of an old one. It's from December of 2017. I mean, relatively old. It's like 9 months ago or 8 months ago or whatever. Right. But yeah, it's interesting. And he kind of goes into, he's not super scientific, but he does go into some of the science-y stuff and how vitamin C delivery works and, you know, not eating fiber and kind of what that does and the benefits of that.
And you said he's a doctor, the guy who's
I believe he's a physician.
So I mean,
or a surgeon or something,
I don't know. That's personally the thing that convinces me the most is when people present the science behind it, because you can give me all these like anecdotal instances and it's like, okay, well, good for you, you found the anomalies, you know, like, unless you have some like science to at least back it up, like, It's hard for me to be able to broadly apply that to everybody.
Yeah, so my dad was the one who told me to listen to the podcast, and we had a conversation about it. And
it sounds interesting, and I definitely want to check it out, because it, like I said, it's along the lines of that ketogenic like diet that, you know, I was talking about.
Yeah, I think it's actually like, So that podcast, me and my dad were discussing it, and my one complaint was that I think this is more of a personality thing than a studious thing. Yeah. He presented a lot of stuff in the way of saying, you know, he's only done this for a year, and so he hasn't drawn these major conclusions, but this is kind of what he feels, and this is what the science shows, but he's not sure. Like, so it's, he never like stated, you know, this is what the science says, this is fact. He's kind of like, a lot of the science-y stuff that he talks about, he's like, this is kind of what we've seen, these are the trends. So that, you know, personally, that kind of frustrates me. I want to see, like, because I'm very logical. I'm like, A happens, right. B happens, therefore C, and that's the conclusion, that's it. His personality wasn't that way.
Yeah, you need to see some like long-term effects, like how does this affect a person over time?
Yeah, and so the more I study, you know, I've been eating meat only this week, I've been kind of paying attention to the community and the science behind it, and also like I've kind of gotten an interest in like ethical farming practices. And like eating meat and stuff. So learning more about that, especially like if I'm going to move to a diet where I'm gonna eat 2 to 3 pounds of meat a day, like I feel like
it matters.
I should be caring about like the long term effect of like the environmental impact of it. So
not even just that, but even for the sake of just your own body too, like knowing where your meat is coming from.
Yeah, exactly. Like if I'm eating, you know, a bunch of hormonal meat, then like obviously those things are going into my body.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Interesting shit, dude. It really got me thinking, and it's really got me wanting to at least, I don't know, man, because I'm like, oh, shit, that's such a good idea. I want to do that. But then I drop at McDonald's and I'm like, damn, that shit is good, too.
It's true. Hard to beat.
People watch Super Size Me and they're like, oh, my God, I'm never going there again. I watch Super Size Me.
Get hungry,
and I'm like, damn, I'm hungry as hell. Yeah. So I'm torn. But after watching that documentary, it did get me thinking, and I'm with you. It did get me thinking more like, man, I really would like to care a little bit more about, like, where my food is coming from and, like, what exactly, like, it is that I'm eating.
Yeah. Yeah, but it, I mean, like you said, it's tough. Like so one of the nice things in, at least kind of that I've read, and you know, I have a pretty limited window of experience. It's been 3 days, but I've kind of been on a semi ketogenic diet, like not officially, but you know, I do intermittent fasting, so I get into ketosis, and you know, I've a pretty limited carbohydrate value since I'm cutting weight.
Yeah.
And
that's your thing. It's not even necessarily, at least with the ketogenic diet, it's not no carbs. It's just, you know, high fat, low carbs.
But on that, like, you know, throughout the week, I would be craving carbs. Like, I, you know, Friday's usually my cheat day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Thursday, Friday-ish, I am like craving like some McDonald's or Taco Bell or like a pizza. Like down an entire pizza.
Could you argue that the fact that you have a cheat day is why you crave it?
So that's you could argue that, but I'm going to give you my experience this week. From what I understand of what I've read, eating sugars gives you an insulin spike, which creates a, you know, the sugar chemical reaction in your brain that actually makes you crave more sugar.
Right.
So I think the like consistent putting sugar into my body every day gave me that craving and like made me want so much of it. And so by the time I get to like the end of my week, since I've been limiting myself and my body saying, I want more. Yeah. While I'm working out, it's like I get to this point where I'm just like dying without carbs. This week, I haven't really experienced that. Like I've been a little more tired than usual, but I know that's because my caloric intake has been down because I'm finding it hard to eat enough steak. So I like
said no man ever.
Well, I mean, I was eating 16. I was eating a pound of ribeye a day for the past 3 days.
Jesus.
And so that's been a lot. And it's hard to like eat another ribeye on top of that. So I've started to, you know, I did eggs and bacon and stuff like that too. But like this weekend I'm planning on buying some more variety of meat so I can like kind of balance that out.
Well, I don't know how they look at it, but you know, especially the ketogenic diet too, it stresses on like how good eggs are for you too. I mean, I don't know what you consider that, what type of food, like.
Yeah. So in the zero carb carnivore diet, people obviously eat eggs, but it's not as much in the keto. It's not as much as the ketogenic diet.
Right.
Mostly because like,
I just feel like that would help change it up for you, at least for breakfast. Holy shit.
Well, I intermittent fast, which I shouldn't be doing on this diet. I should eat more regularly.
Right.
Because this meal is like revolves around eat when you're hungry.
Right.
But like just from schedule wise, it's pretty hard for me to eat breakfast.
It is. And then that's another fucked up thing about the way we live too, is our schedules. Like we literally deprive our body from what it needs just based on our schedule.
Yeah. And it sucks too, right? Cause like, I mean, it's probably a little different at your work, but at my job, I'm very objective based. I have like, you know, these set meetings in every day basically, like, and they're scheduled, you know, a week or two out. And then outside of that, you know, there are some like 911 stuff that happens and like, you know, meetings that I have to have with people right away that kind of get scheduled in a day. But for the most part, you know, outside of those meetings, like, there's not a ton for me. Like, I mean, there's obviously work stuff that I have to do, but
like, as long as all of your shit gets done,
that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, I don't need to be there from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Like,
right.
Like I could, and most of my work I could honestly do from home as long as I'm there for the meetings or available if someone needs me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I work an objective based job. Yeah. I'm there for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Like that's craziness.
Right.
Like, and you know, I understand that from like a culture perspective, but I definitely feel like we're probably, you know, in the next 10, 20 years going to move away from that as well.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. I wonder how much that like affects our, you know, emotional health, I guess. Like just,
I imagine
repetitively. Yeah. And not work, like, we're just there from a clock perspective, not from a need perspective.
I think about it often, like, you know, back when, especially when this fucking country was first starting out, like, people did not work on Saturdays and Sundays, like, you know? Like, yeah. People had their weekends, especially Sundays, you know, that was God's day, and you can't do any work on that day.
I think...
And, like... But then like nowadays culture is like, are you kidding me? If I can't go get some fucking ice cream on Sunday, like I'm gonna die. Like, no, actually, you'd probably just go a day or two earlier is what you would do. You would plan your shit out a little more.
Yeah, my parents, when they were in Italy somewhat recently, they said one of the weird like culture shocks for them is that all the restaurants and like stores and stuff would just shut down in the middle of the day for like an hour to 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever, just because like no one would come in and they didn't have anything to do. So like
they'd go on their lunch and they'd go take a nap.
Exactly. Or run errands or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then they would come back to work and they'd probably work till close. And that's not really like a hard time. It's just like,
oh,
that's just how it is. And like,
yeah.
To me, that, like, way of living life makes a ton more sense.
I agree. I totally agree. But, maybe things are changing now, but at least, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's not what was making money.
Yeah.
What was making money is being open 7 days a week. Fucking, you're open from 7 in the morning until 9, 10 at night.
Yeah, and on that like kind of note, right? Like I remember being, you know, in middle school and thinking like going and hanging out at the mall was cool. Now like I like every time I go to a mall, even though there's like a billion cars out in the parking lot, it feels like malls are dead.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've experienced that, but
no, I have, yeah.
Which is kind of like It's crazy, but it's nice at the same time because I'm always like, oh wow, good on people for not being so like consumerist, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's nuts. Like I'm going to work. I gotta leave my house at around 11-ish. So it's like just barely too early to have lunch for me. Like it'd be weird for me to eat lunch at like 10:30. And so, I'm trying to have like a late breakfast. And then by the time I get to work, by the time I get on break, it's basically dinner time. So I'm basically eating like a late lunch, early dinner. And then I'm having like a really fucking late dinner at like 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you did today. Like you texted me
at
7:30.
Yeah, that's what I do every day, man. Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I'm about to eat dinner. And I'm like, wow. Fair enough.
It's what I do every day, man. It's fucking nuts because that's my schedule. And there's nothing I can really do about it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like, my schedule is kind of weird, but in the opposite way because I work at 6 and I get off at 3-ish and I don't eat breakfast or lunch. I get home at 3:30 and
you're starving.
And I immediately just down a ton of food.
Right. So then same thing for you, probably like around this time at night, you're like starting to get hungry again.
Yep. I have two meals and it's like dinner and second dinner.
Right. Yeah, it's nuts. And that kind of stuff, it can't be good for you.
Well, I think mine's pretty good for me because I'm like intentionally doing that. Like I could easily eat lunch, but.
No, I know, but still, like, I don't know. Maybe it's bullshit science, maybe not. But just from my experience and from what I've heard / read is that, drinking a lot of water in the morning and making sure you eat like a meal first thing in the morning really helps your body like get going for the day.
Yeah, I don't believe in that science. I believe in the drinking water thing, but I'm not sold on the meal thing.
How not? The argument, the typical argument is that it kickstarts your metabolism for the day.
Yeah, so what I think is the argument against that is that your metabolism isn't as fragile. It is, but it's not as fragile. Like if I skip a meal, then my metabolism isn't going to slow down and permanently be slowed down. Like our
bodies are very adaptive.
Yeah. So if you're like, especially if we go back to the whole, like how did our ancestors eat? I guarantee you there are days that they just couldn't get a meal. So, I mean, if our bodies were going into starvation mode like immediately, I don't think we would have survived.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Have you opened your second beer?
No, but I just finished my first beer,
Well, get cracking and let's rate it while we got a nice foamy head.
Yes, that's what she said. Oh, fuck. Cheers, sorry, man. I just dropped my bottle opener.
Sorry, podcast listeners. while you're pouring your beer, I would like to say this has been a nice chilled out episode, I think, compared to our last two, which the audience may or may not hear depending on files and whatnot. and emphasizing on the whatnot. And so if we don't release them, for whatever reason that is, to the audience, we may have been a little drunk and a little hype. A little too much hype is the reason. Like we don't mind hype, but it was a little too much. So
yeah,
like the audio from two episodes ago, which Nick is editing and he hasn't edited yet. I briefly glanced over my audio and I just destroyed my microphone. So I'm sure. I keep warning him about it, and I'm sure he's going to say, like, within 30 seconds of listening to it, yeah, we can't use this. Yeah. So.
And at the very least, like, we talked to you, like, if nothing else, it's going to be too embarrassing for either of us to even want anyone else to listen to that fucking bullshit.
Both of us were very drunk.
Like, that's the kind of shit that, like, Levi and I are just, like, are hanging out too drunk to talk to each other, and that's a big enough audience, like probably already too big of an audience.
Yep. All right, so let's get to it. Run us through categories and whatnot.
All right, man. How's it look for you?
So we're recording very late. It's 9:40 where I'm at, which means it's 11:40 where you're at. It's kind of dark here, but I'm seeing kind of what I expected, orangey color. Mm-hmm. It's clear except for the unfiltered particles that are floating around. So,
yeah. See, mine's like a little hazy still, even with the, like, aside from the particles, it's still a little hazy though. Yeah. Not like super hazy, but I mean, even if those particles weren't there, like, I wouldn't be able to see through this beer.
I'm trying to like hold it up to light. I think if the particles weren't there, I could see through it.
I don't know.
But yeah.
But yeah.
People get the gist.
They get the gist. Head is a little thin. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes down. It starts out strong, but it does go away. But it sticks around a little bit.
Shake it around a little bit, it comes back?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I get this smell wise, I think it's very hoppy. I think that's the main focus of the beer, obviously.
Yeah, and it's fresh. Like it's a fresh hoppy. I mean, obviously we talked about this in depth earlier, but yeah, you could definitely taste or smell the freshness.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like it doesn't just taste like a normal, like, oh man, that smells hoppy. Like it's very distinctively like a fresh hop smell.
Yep. And orangey a little bit.
Yes. I would definitely say very citrusy smelling. But also like, well, maybe it's attributed to like the orangey citrusiness. I was going to say there's some sort of sweet fruitiness to it. But I guess you could probably attribute that to the orange.
That's what I'll attribute it to.
Well, I mean, you either will or you won't.
Never heard a more true statement.
That you haven't.
Go ahead.
Any other smell that you're getting out of that? I don't know.
No, I think that pretty much covers it for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Once again, I'm feeling a little chilled out tonight, so I'm not like...
Yeah.
Going super hard into the dissecting the beer, which is okay.
Yeah, it's chill for me. Taste? What you got?
Pretty similar to the aroma. You know, mm-hmm. it's a very hop forward taste. Definitely got the citrus bite to it, as well as kind of that unfiltered graininess. Again, which is quite nice. I think if I was more of a pale ale drinker, this would probably be too hoppy for me.
Yeah.
You know, as an IPA drinker, and I like really hoppy beers.
Yeah.
I would gladly include this into the family.
Can I just say that I'm really glad that we have a very similar taste for beers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the podcast would be a lot more difficult.
At the very least, they'd get both sides of the coin. This is very much like you're listening to Fox News, I think. You're getting one opinion. Oh, but no, I don't know. I was just thinking the other day, I don't know. For whatever reason, I was just thinking about, like, you know, if I were to go out and have a beer with John, I have no idea what that guy likes. And I feel like he just likes something very different than as to what we like.
I think he likes a different beer every time too. Like I feel like I've went out with him and he's like got a Blue Moon and then like, you know, a pale ale, and then he'll like get a Stella and
Yeah, it really depends on how he's feeling.
I mean, you probably have more experience than I do because we've probably gotten drinks like three times. But
no, honestly, as far as like getting drinks with the guy, I'm kind of right there with you too. I mean, it's funny to think, but yeah, because when I turned 21, he'd already been out in California for a year.
Yeah,
so. We didn't really go out drinking a whole lot other than when I had gone out to California. So. But yeah. But anyways, I don't know. Just a side comment, I guess.
It
kind of turned into a conversation here, but just a side comment. It's just nice that it was very similar taste profile here. So, but yeah.
What do you think about the feel?
Well, I think it's well balanced in the sense that you're getting, I'm getting this beer in thirds. You know, you have your top third that's nice and crisp and bitter. You got your middle third where it's nice and thick and like juicy and sweet. Then you got that lower end where it's like, I guess it kind of encapsulates that sweetness, like, you know, to balance out the bitterness.
Yeah. I mean, I think the kind of, I would say probably the thirds is a good description. I would say the immediate taste is the kind of unfiltered graininess of it. The kind of like when you're actually tasting the beer, you have that very juicy flavors. And then the aftertaste is that kind of hoppiness that's almost like a, like the beer is refreshing because the juiciness is so bold when you're tasting it. But the aftertaste right. is kind of gives you like a dry aftertaste wanting more, if that
yeah
kind of makes sense.
That's a good way to phrase it. You're right.
And I think that's probably because of the unfiltered piece of it, but
yeah. So what do you think overall, man?
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this one a... It's weird for us because I'm going kind of high. I'm going to give it a 3.75 great.
Mm. Yeah.
I really like it. I do. It's...
Yeah.
I could see, you know, since they did come in the 12 packs... I'm really happy about that because that means I have 10 more beers to drink of this, and I am stoked to drink all 10 of them.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad. That makes me happy that you really liked them. Because I was kind of bummed when we were talking about it, and you were like, "Hey, how about this?" I was like, "Oh, fuck yeah, that's like one of my favorite beers." And I was like, "Ooh, it does only come in a 12 pack though." That is that's a bit of a commitment. So. But I had a good feeling that you were gonna like this. So,
what about you? What do you think?
I think I'm right there with you. I think it's hard for me to pick anywhere between a 3.75 and a 4. So maybe like a 3.8, if you will, if mm-hmm. that's a thing.
Sure, you do whatever you want. 3.83. I don't know.
Sure. I'm gonna write 3.81. That's what I'm gonna write. But yeah, it's great. It's a really good beer. I think this is the epitome of like my favorite style of beer, if you will. You know, this isn't my favorite beer, but it is definitely my favorite kind, like my style.
Yeah, I think it hits, you talked about it being well balanced. I think that probably hits it, you know, across styles. It's... Mm-hmm. It's got a nice hoppy flavor for people who like hops. It's got a nice juicy flavor for people who like the citrusy stuff. And, mm-hmm. It's got a dry finish, so you're not feeling like you just drank a bunch of sugar that I sometimes feel when I drink like a hazy IPA, for example.
Totally. Yeah, sometimes you're just left with that real juicy, sweet aftertaste, and you're like, oh, fuck, like I need a glass of water with this.
Yeah, exactly. And this, you don't need that, which is nice.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So I'll say this, I'm excited for you to try the actual fresh hop beer come harvest time.
Yeah, we'll definitely need to make sure we try it.
Yeah, because I think you're going to be blown out of the waters with that one, honestly. And then try that fucking Georgetown one for me too. I think Renee's dad was telling me, I think it's the Bodazafa. So they have the Bodazafa, which is awesome beer.
Yep.
And I think he was saying that they just do that same beer, but with fresh hops, I think.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Yeah. So,
Do you try the Lucille while you're over here?
I do not recall Lucille. By who?
It's by Georgetown.
Oh yeah, no, I did not.
Yeah, me and my cousin talk about Georgetown a lot. So his favorite's the Lucille, and that one's actually like a kind of a florally IPA, if I remember correctly. So
nice.
You'd probably like it.
Yeah, no, I would love that. You said Lucille, and I, for whatever reason, just thought of the Leota May from Bailbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
also a pretty good beer, but mm-hmm. I don't think quite up to this level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Georgetown, I think, is one of the better Northwest breweries out there. So
yeah, and they're so small too, which is awesome.
Yeah, we actually we didn't go to Georgetown. We were in Georgetown. Yeah. We were actually in the Georgetown town.
Yeah,
but we didn't go to Georgetown.
We did not. We just went to Allegiant. Stupidly enough, that was fucking stupid.
Where did we go after that? Do we just go to my place?
We went to your place, and then we tried to... No, I think we tried to go to a couple other breweries, but they were closing.
Yeah, well, we...
They were literally closing as we were, like, pulling up to them.
There's a couple that closed, and then we did end up going to 1022 South J, the bar.
Yeah.
When we first talked about the beer rate. Well, when we beer rated each other.
Right, yeah. And then we found out, hey, we got to do this shit for real.
Oh, yeah. And here we are.
Here we are.
6 to 8 podcast episodes later.
You tell us.
Yep.
Gosh damn it. Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing a thing.
Yeah, this is Levi, one of your hosts.
And I'm that other person who you might call your other host, Nick.
Or co-host.
Or
you stay classy, San Diego.
You stay classy, Ron Burgundy.
Two beards and some beers. Peace. Chica-chica.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, I'm gonna stop this shit though. Okay.